cliffhanger because my internet wasn't working well. So I kind of lost you a little bit at the end. But just to review, we had an amazing mashal last time. The Baal HaTanya presented the mashal of a ray of light emanating from the sun. And he explained to us how our experience with that ray of light is a remarkable thing. On the one hand, I know full well that that ray of light comes from the sun. I know that it doesn't exist really independent from the sun. Right? Yet at the same time, when I feel that ray of light, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm reading a sefer, and all of a sudden I feel that warm light on my face through the window, and I look outside and I can kind of see the ray of light. I can certainly perceive it. I feel it. I'm basking in its light. And I'm also contemplating the fact that it's sort of emanating from a much loftier, much more intense source. So I think about that relationship between the two. On the one hand, it's sort of, the ray of light is sort of independent from the source, and yet I recognize full well that in the sense it's rooted in the source. But the Baal HaTanya told us, how would we view the ray of light while it was still in the sun, within the ball of the sun? The ray of light within the ball of the sun, I mean, we couldn't even identify it. If the ray of light is within the ball of the sun, or maybe, again, another mashal that's sometimes brought, which also goes very well with this, is a drop of water from the ocean. If I take a drop of water out of the ocean, right, so I can hold it in my hand, I can grasp it, it seems to be measurable, but when I throw that drop of water back into the ocean, it becomes one with the ocean. The ray of light within the ball of the sun is totally batel umavutel. I can't even pretend that it has its own independent existence. So, Chavar, the question that we ended off on last time is, so what are we? As Jews who have a chelek alokam yima'al mamish, in the language of the Baal HaTanya, from the first section of Tanya, so what are we? Are we a ray of light that is somehow removed, detached from the sun? Or maybe we're that bit of light, that bit of energy, that is still existing within the sun. But the cliffhanger, the question we ended off on last time, is that if we exist within the sun, so how do we even perceive ourselves as being an independent entity? How do I even pretend? If the truth of the matter is that we're all swimming within HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, and there is no independent existence, that my whole existence is just within Hashem, even more so than that ray of light that is emanating from the sun, so how am I not batel b'metzias? Again, the same way when the ray of light were to be put back into the sun, you can't identify it as an independent thing. So how do we go through life even pretending that there's a Shmoli and there's an Aaron and there's an Alex and there's an Ami? How do we even perceive it as such, if the truth of the matter is that we're existing within HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? And what we're going to learn tonight is one of the great paradoxes of existence, which is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals and conceals at the exact same moment. To the human mind, that is an utter paradox that we can't wrap our heads around. How could Hashem both reveal and conceal? How could Hashem be creating me and at the same time denying me or hiding me from my own existence, which itself allows me to exist? Okay, now if that sounds very complicated, let's see if we can make it less complicated. Because the truth is, it is very complicated, but it's also not so complicated. And again, the goal of these shiurim is not to learn necessarily the Shara Yichud V'Emunah B'Iyun, and there are many svarim that are written in recent years, and certainly earlier Talmidim of the Baal HaTanya, who wrote unbelievable Torahs about each and every word of this sefer. The goal is to get the tamsis, to get a taste of some of these yesodos in reality. And I keep calling them yesodos in reality because that's really what it is. It's a question of how I see my life, how I see Hashem in my life, or my life within Hashem, maybe is a better way to say it. Okay, so let's see. Perek Dalet. Ki nei ksiv ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim. Ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim. Hashem Elokim. Hashem yudkei vavkei Elokim. Midas hachesed, the Shem Ha'etzem, Hashem Elokim, Hashem's name of Din. Shemesh Umagin, the sun and its shield. What does that mean, the sun and its shield? Perish. Perish Magin, who nartek la Shemesh, lahagain sheyuchlu habrios lasovlo. The sun is so intense that obviously, if any of us were to get too close to the sun, we would cease to exist. We would be burnt to a crisp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to, so to speak, shield us from the full energy of the sun. Otherwise, I mean, it's amazing. Actually, someone mentioned it to me today, that the placement of the sun in the sky, if it was farther away from planet Earth, we would freeze. And if it was closer, we'd be burnt to a crisp. The placement of the sun is very precise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, places the Shemesh in a nartek, in some type of sheath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a sword that's inserted into a holder, the Shtan is also shielded from us. Shemesh umagen, that allows us to interact with the sun and to be able to be sovalit, to be able to be warmed by it, to be able to receive from it without being damaged by it, not being totally consumed by it. Kamayim Rabbosinu Zichrono Levracha, as the Gemara tells us that in the end of days, in the future, what is Hashem going to do? Hashem is actually going to take the sun out of its encasing, and what's going to happen? The tzaddikim who are able to handle it will bask in its light. The rishayim who are not prepared to absorb such an intense light, of course this is all a mashal, for his galus elokus, for God revealing himself in the world, those who are not able to receive it will be destroyed. Those who are able to be makabel it will enjoy the presence, the energy, the light of Hashem. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. La'asid in the future, la'asid lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama min arteka, Hashem will remove the sun from its encasing, Hashem will allow the sun to shine on full blast, rishayim nidonim ba v'chulu, and the wicked will be judged by it. The tzaddikim will be able to enjoy it. So we have a sun, and we have its shield. We have its encasing. We have Hashem, and we have Elohim, going back to the pasuk. Look at these deep, deep words of David HaMelech. And the Baal HaTani is so, wow, it's so precise how he explains it. Like the sun has a shield, has a covering, so too Hashem is covered by Elohim. Chaver, you know from the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Svarim tell us, that what's the gematria of the word Elohim? The gematria of the word Elohim is 86. Obviously Elohim, right, with a hey, is 86. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us it's the same gematria as Hateva, as the natural order of things. Because if Yud Kei Vav Kei, if the Shem Hashem represents the truth of things, Ha Yehovah V'yiyah, there was, there is, and there always will be nothing other than Hashem, Einod Milvado. But from the natural perspective, the world is made up of a lot of things. I just walked down the block to Daven Ma'ariv in someone's backyard, and I encountered snow, and I encountered rocks, I encountered trees, I encountered cars, I encountered stars, right? So if you ask me, what did you see? When you walked through your front door, what did you see outside? If you asked me that question, I would tell you all the things I saw. I wouldn't say, I saw Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding the Hashem within Elohim. Hashem is hiding his essence within Teva, within a natural order of the world, a perception that there are other things besides Hashem. So just like the Nartek is Megin Ba'ar HaShemesh, just like the encasing shields us from the true expression of what the sun really is, Kach Shem Elohim Megin L'Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. So too the name Hashem is concealed by Elohim. Elohim hides the name of Hashem from us. What does that mean? The Shem Havaya, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, what we call sometimes again the essential name of Hashem, Peirusho, what does it mean? The Shem Hashem is Shemahave Es HaKol Me'ayin Liyesh. It's a name that, what? Yud Kei Vav Kei. He's going to explain what the word means. The Yud is Mishameshes Al HaPu'ula, Shehi Balashon Hove V'Tamid. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Yud Hove. In other words, constant existence. Hova means presence, constant presence. What does that mean, constant presence? Constantly taking ayin, nothing, and turning it into yesh, turning it into something. As we learned in the previous prakim, Hashem pumping life into us every second, willing us into existence. Yud kei vav kei, yud hova. Constant existence. As Rashi explains on the pasuk, at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, Kocha Ya'ase Iyov Kol Yamim. Ya'ase. What does Ya'ase mean? Ya'ase means Iyov did this continuously, constantly. So Yud Kei Vav Kei, interesting, he's giving us a perish of the name of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei means Yud Hove, constant, ongoing existence. Namely, V'hainu, Hachayus Hanishpa B'chol Rega Mamish B'chol Habruim. The life force that Hashem is being mashpia at every moment, mamish, literally every second, willing everything into existence for all of creation, mimotza pi Hashem v'rucho, emanating from the mouth of Hashem, as we learned in the earlier prakim, the Dvar Hashem, the constant word of God that is creating reality, defining reality, the beginning of creation, those 10 vayomers that we learned about, umahava osam me'ayin liyesh b'chol rega. And Hashem is bringing them forth again every single second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mahava, he's willing them into existence, from nothing to something, nothing to something. It's not that you were created and now you exist. you're constantly being created and recreated and recreated and recreated every second. Mamish every second. Ki lo dai lahem b'mashin evro b'sheshes yimei b'reishes lios kayama b'zeh. It's not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it during the 6 days of creation. That's not enough for us to continue to exist. Commotion is bar la'el, as of course we explained in the earlier prakim. Hashem is constantly willing things into existence. But there's a relationship here. There's a sun, and there's something that gives us access to the sun by hiding us from the essence of the sun. There's Hashem, there's the essence of Hashem, as manifest constantly within all of reality. And there's Elohim, which is what? Like Ami was saying before, it's the clothing of the king. It's the garments of the king that hide us, right, from that true encounter with the king, which, lo yer eini adam v'chai, that no one could encounter Hashem, see Hashem, and live. Just like you can't touch the sun and live. The distance allows you to have an interaction. I actually just chopped something about Hanukkah, but not for now. I have to remember to tell you another time, because we got to stick to the game plan here. But I just understood something about Hanukkah, what it means to stand in front of the menorah. Okay, for another time. V'hinei besidur shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second paragraph. V'hinei besidur shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'siv ha-gadol ha-gibor. We talk about a God who is gadol and gibor in our davening, in our Shmona Esrei. What does it mean that Hashem is gadol and gibor? The Baal HaTanya is going to explain to us so crystal clear what the term gadol and gibor mean. How on the surface they're opposites. Bisharsham, at their root, it's all one and the same. First Gadol, then Gibor. What is Gadol? Gadol is a code word for Chesed. What is Chesed? First of all, where do you know that Gadol is a code word for Chesed? Who could tell me? Where do we see that Gadol is used as a code word for Chesed? Anyone know? In the Sviros, we talk about Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. The seven lower Sviros. The seven lower emanations of God. The 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. The 7 guests that we invite into our sukkah. The 7 Ushvizin. Avram is Chesed. Yitzchak is Gvura. Yaakov is Tiferes. Where do we see that Gadol is a code word for Chesed? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with when we take out a Sefer Torah. We say a couple of psukim from Divrei HaYamim. Maybe we even sing it in your young Israel. L'cha Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gevura v'ha-tiferes. Right, think about that for a second. L'cha Hashem ha-gedula gevura tiferes. V'ha-netzach v'ha-hod. Okay, so that sounds like the Sfiros. Except one of them is not being called by its normal name. It's being called by a code name. L'cha Hashem ha-gedula gevura tiferes netzach-hod. So gedula, apparently, gadol, gedula, is apparently a code word for which of the Sfiros? For chesed. Gedula is a code word for chesed. Interesting. Okay. So now, with that knowledge, let's go back to the Baal HaTanya now. And let's see what it means. Upeirish ha-gadol. What does it mean that Hashem is a gadol? If gadol is a code word for chesed, think about Avram Avinu. Think about Avram's chesed. Think about Avram's tent, which was open on all sides. What is chesed? Outreach. Kindness. What is a person who's a chesed-like personality? What is his nature? To always be what? To always be in an expansive state, wanting to give to others. Hashem is being described as Gadol. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what? That's giving life to everyone, giving tzedakah to everyone, giving chesed. Olam chesed yibane, he's going to quote later on the pasuk. Hashem built a world of chesed, a world where Hashem is giving to everything. Hashem is giving everything into existence. Midas ha-chesed, he says, hispashtus ha-chayus, the expansive, the ever-expanding giving of life, b'chol ha'olamos, in all of the worlds, u'bruim le'ein ketz v'tachlis, to all of creation, in an infinite fashion, an infinite amount of giving and giving and giving, lios bruim me'ayin le'yesh. What more could you ask for? Hashem took you from being a nothing and made you into a something. V'kayamim b'chesed chinam. And is there anything we could do to repay the kindness? You'll say, what do you mean chesed? I have a business relationship with Hashem. He does for me, I do for him. He keeps my heart beating, and I put on tefillin in the morning for him. Right? He puts a breath of life in my lungs, and I keep Shabbos. Nah, come on. Chava, let's be honest. It's a chesed chinam. There's nothing we can do to repay Hashem for life itself. It's an unbelievable, it's gadol, it's so big. It is such a big debt, I could never repay it. It's the biggest kindness in the world. V'nikres gedula, says the Baal HaTanya. Everyone see where we are? It's called gedula Ki ba migdulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. It comes from the essential nature of Hashem, so to speak, the greatest part. Obviously, part is a funny word when you talk about God, but the greatest part of Hashem, the greatest expression of Hashem, namely that what? That Hashem wants to give. That's why Hashem created the world. That's how the Arizal begins. Hashem wanted to create the world, right? It's true, it's before that there's just a ratzon that transcends any explanation. But if you're forced to explain, why does God want a world? Because it's the nature of one who is good to share that goodness. And Hashem is the ultimate gadol. Hashem is the ultimate goodness. Hashem is the ultimate giver. The ultimate personification of chesed, the essence of chesed. And therefore, gadol Hashem v'ligdula so ein cheker. Like we say in Ashrei. Gadol Hashem, you're such a gadol. Your gedula, your kindness, ein cheker, cannot be understood. We look ourselves in the mirror sometimes, you say, Hashem, what do you need a Moshe Tzvi Weinberg for? What do you need me for? What do you need me for? What's my contribution? Why do you need me? Right? And then I start to look at the things of this world, this little piece of yellow paper that I have lying here. What do you need this for, Hashem? Hashem's willing this into existence right now. It's not that someone made this in a factory and somehow it ended up on my shelf and then I used it as a bookmark in a safer. At this very moment, Hashem is choosing that He wants this little piece of paper to exist. And it's an essential expression of His essence. That's crazy. L'gdula so'in cheker. I can't possibly wrap my head around that. His goodness, His greatness is beyond explanation, beyond understanding. V'lachein mashpia gam ken chayus v'yisavus mi'ayin li'yesh lo'olamus u'burim ein keitz. Sheteva hatov lehetiv. It is the nature of one who is essentially good to continue to bestow that goodness upon others. Others means people, others means things. Constant desire of Hashem to be mashpia chayus, life, existence, from ayin to yesh in all of the worlds, for all creatures, for all beings, for anything that's manifest in the world. Okay? That is the midah of gadol. V'hine, next paragraph, k'mo shemida zu, hi shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. And just like Hashem is unique category, there are many great people in the world who do a lot of chesed. There's wonderful organizations, you know? There's unbelievable chesed organizations who give so much tzedakah and give so much chesed and provide so many resources that Hashem is in a class of His own. Ligdula so in cheker. Hashem's kind beyond anything that anyone could do. Can you give life? So you'll say, what do you mean? For Torah, Puravu, I hope one day to be a father to children, right? We can't create life without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We couldn't create the smallest without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't give life to the small. The Medrash says you couldn't create a bug, let alone a human being. You couldn't create the small. You couldn't create a gnat, the Medrash says. The tiniest little annoying bug. You couldn't create anything. You can't give life to anything without Hashem. So therefore, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique in this category of chesed, of gedula, she'ein bi'acholes shum nivra livro yesh mi'ayin l'chayoso, that none of us can take nothing and turn it into something. We can take something and turn it into something else. I can take a block of silver and fashion it into a kiddush cup. But I can't make nothing into silver. I can't make nothing into something. V'gam mida zu hi lamala me'ascholes kol brum v'asagosam. Not only can I not do it, I can't even understand how it works. There's things in life that I can't do, but I can at least understand how someone else could do it. I can't wrap my head around this at all. The concept of taking nothing and making it into something, of actually creating life, that's beyond. She'ein koch b'seichel shum nivra lahaskiu lahasig midazu. No one can grasp this idea, this concept. V'yacholto livro yesh me'ayin l'chayoso. We can't understand that. We can't do it, and we can't even understand it. Because the creation of nothing into something is totally beyond anything that our human minds can grasp. It comes from the ultimate place of kindness that is just beyond. Listen to this line carefully. HaKadosh Baruch Hu umidosav achtus pashut. That means what? That means understanding Hashem, the way that Hashem thinks, and the way that Hashem acts are one and the same. And therefore what? Just like you can't understand how God thinks, you cannot understand how Hashem acts. The Zohar says, Ihu v'garmaihu chad. He And that which he causes, that which he creates, is one and the same. So therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, Kishem, she'ein v'yachol l'shum seichel nivra l'hasig boro, just like you can't think about Hashem, you can't understand Hashem with your mind, you can't tap into the full understanding of God's mind, kach eino yachol l'hasig midosav, so too you can't understand His attributes, His actions. You don't understand how God thinks, and you don't understand how God acts. In other words, we try to mimic it. We also do chesed. We also try to be creative. We also try to give life. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, Hashem is machaye mesim. Hashem can give life to the dead. How do we do that? We have to try to be like Hashem and model His midos. How do we do that? You know how you do that? You find a Jew who's really down in the dumps, who's basically given up on his life, given up on his Yiddishkeit, and you help him. You help him to find his way back to Hashem. That's tchiyas mesim. That's a zer anpin, that's a miniature expression of tchiyas ha-mesim. You revived the dead. This guy was spiritually dead. And you brought him back to life through your kindness, through your love, through teaching him, through guiding him. So we try to mimic Hashem, but just like we don't understand the essence of Hashem's mind, we can't do Hashem's actions either. We can't turn ayin into yesh. We can't turn nothing into something. We can't do the midah of gadol, of chesed, of hispashtus achayus, like Hashem. Okay. So says the Baal HaTanya, but you know what else we can't do? Not only can we not grasp Hashem's kindness in creating, we also can't grasp, and this is very deep, listen to this, we can't grasp Hashem's concealment either. Now what does that mean? What does that mean, I can't grasp the concealment? You want to tell me I can't grasp Hashem as what? As He is at His essence, just like I can't see a ray of light when it goes back into the sun. I get it. But I can grasp the ray of light. I can experience the ray of light outside the sun. So maybe I can also experience Hashem in an essential way when HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals Himself. When Hashem contains Himself. And now the Baal HaTanya is going to say no. Just like you don't understand Hashem is creating, you also don't understand Hashem is hiding. Let's explain what that means. Ukemo, she'ein biyachol es shum seichel nivra, lahasig midas gedulaso. Just like your mind is not able to grasp Hashem's chesed, Hashem's hispashtus, Hashem as taking ayin and making it into yesh, we can't grasp that, and we can't mimic it, we can't create life. I don't have the tools to blow life into something, to breathe life into something, to bring something to life. So too, just like I can't grasp the gedula, shehi ayicholis livro yesh me'ayin ulachayoso, just like I'm not able to create something from nothing, to give it life. As it says, everything in creation, olam chesed yibaneh, Hashem built a world where everything is an expression of His chesed. And I can't do that, not like Hashem can. Kach mamish ein biyacholto lahasig midas gvuraso, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If gedula, if chesed, if gadol is the midah of what? Of expansion, of Hashem spreading Himself outward. So what is gevura? If Avram is the one whose tent is open on all sides, what is Yitzchak? What is the midah of gevura? You know what gevura is? Gevura is what? Tzimtzum. Gevura is contraction. Gevura is holding back. That's why Yitzchak, who's the paradigm in the Torah personality of gevura, think about Yitzchak's life. Does he talk a lot in the Chumash? No. Does he ever go anywhere? No. He never leaves Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu is literally, his greatest moment is at the moment when he's what? When he's literally contracted. He's literally tied down. He's held back. He's tied up at the Akedah. So Gvura is what? Is the ability to hold back, to conceal, to say less, to move around less, to expand less. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu what? Hiding Himself. So you would think, but that's where I can find God at least. At least when God is not as manifest, right? When Hashem is like the ball of the sun, clear for all to see. I can't enter the ball of the sun. I can't meet Hashem there. But the ray of light down below on the earth that I feel on my face when I walk out my front door, so that's that I can experience. So maybe I can experience the gevura of Hashem. Maybe I can understand Hashem when He conceals Himself, when He's mitzamtzem Himself, when He contracts Himself. When He makes Himself, so to speak, smaller, so that I can interact with Him, says the Baal HaTanya, no, you don't understand that either. Just like you can't understand the Gedula, you can't understand the Gevura. L'cha Hashem, HaGedula V'HaGevura. Hashem, we don't understand the Gedula, and we don't understand the Gevura. Look what he writes here. The Gevura, which is Midas HaTzimtzum, Umenius, refraining, restraining, the Hispashtus Achius. It's Hashem pulling things back in. It's returning from the Gedula, which is all over the place, which is so intense. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu packaging it in a smaller way. We think, that's I can get that, I can chop that, I can understand that, I can have a real encounter with that. No, you can't. Even that you can't really grasp. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constricting and holding back, contracting, constricting, concealing that Gedula. Hashem is not allowing His full essence to reveal itself to the creatures down below. To allow His essence to what? To be revealed for all to see. Ki im behester pano. Hashem is constantly hiding. So you'll say, okay, but within that concealment, Hashem is more manageable. When Hashem is constricted, it's packaged a little more, you know, small, right? Hashem is infinite, but when He gives me a Torah, which is made up of 5,845 psukim, so now, like, okay, I can, you know, it's one book. I can put it on the shelf, right? Like the tzaddikim said, how did Hashem put His great essence into one little book? Or as the Berditchever said about the Baal HaTanya, how did the Baal HaTanya, in such a small little sefer, describe to us everything there is to know about Hashem in a certain sense? So you would think the constricted Hashem, not Hashem as the ball of the sun, which is way too intense, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu as that ray of light. Maybe there, maybe that we can chop, maybe we can get that. So he says, Shachayus mistater beguf hanivra, uki'ilu guf hanivra hu davar b'fnei atzmo. How does Hashem package it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu places that life force in a concealed form of the body. Uki'ilu guf hanivra hu davar b'fnei atzmo. To the point that what? That a person feels, ki'ilu, that I'm my own thing. I think that I'm my own thing. It feels like I'm my own thing. That feels very real, no? I mean, I make certain choices, sometimes good, sometimes bad, right? I mean, this feels pretty real. I exist, right? And that perception that I exist, which is really, as the Baal HaTanya is about to explain to us, nothing other than a perception, as much as we think that, like, okay, like I can chop it, we can't even chop that. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents this energy, this life force, in a concealed form in my body, giving me the impression that I'm an independent being. And it's even more, I feel more independent than that ray of light. When I look out that window and I see that ray of light, I know that that ray of light, if I follow the trail, I see exactly where it comes from. I see how it connects back to the sun. I mean, at a certain point, it's too blinding to look at, but I know exactly where it's emanating from. Do I know? Do I see myself? There's no strings attached here. You know what I'm saying? There's no clear indication that I'm roped in with Hashem. So, Chevra, here's the paradox. Listen carefully. Let's say it outside, and then we'll try to understand it inside. The paradox is the following. What was the question? Let's go back to the question. What was our question last time? We ended off on the question. The question is, right, where do we exist? Are we like a ray of sun that is, you know, far from the sun? The sun's out there. I can identify the sun as being out there, and I'm a ray of light down here. Right? Or am I existing within the ball of the sun? So let's answer that question. So where am I right now? What are we? Are we more like a ray of sun, or are we more like within the ball of the sun? What's the answer to that question, Chevron? In truth, where are we? We're in Hashem. We're within Hashem right now. We're not a ray. We're not detached from God right now. We're living within Hashem right now. Okay? But what's amazing, and this is the paradox to the extreme, is that we feel more as if we're an independent existence than the ray of sun. Meaning we're more in the ball of the sun than the ray of light, and yet we feel more detached than the ray of light, right? In other words, both extremes are true at the same time. There's no strings attached here. I have no clear proof that I am shining into this world right now from God, other than the Baal HaTanya telling it to me in his book. There's no way for me to know. The ray of sun, I can follow it back to its source. I can look at it. I can trace it back to its source. Right? Myself, I don't see where I come from. I can't see that I come from Hashem. And the double irony is the fact that I'm not coming from Hashem. I'm existing right now within Hashem. I'm the ray of light within the ball of the sun, right? Which we said should have absolutely no independent existence. So how is it, on the one hand, I'm mamish within Hashem, and I also mamish, I feel like I'm my own thing. You hear the question, Chava? You hear why it's extreme in both directions? We're saying I'm more with Hashem than a ray of light is with the sun, and yet I feel much more independent than the ray of light. Right? If I'm so much within Hashem right now, if there is no independent me, if it's all just this is all just some big crazy game that we're playing, so how is it at the same time I'm supposed to feel so free, and at the same time to be fully aware of the fact that there is no me? There is no independent me. I exist only to the degree that Hashem is allowing me to exist within Him right now. How do I understand that? Va'af shebe'emes eino davar b'fnei atzmo. And even though, listen to this, and even though, in truth, eino davar b'fnei atzmo, I am not at all an independent thing. I am never alone. I am never detached from Hashem. Hashem is pumping life into me at this second. I'm literally nothing other than the Dvar Hashem as manifest in this particular form. Just as you're the Dvar Hashem manifest in your particular form. Just as the things around you are the Dvar Hashem manifest in that particular way. It's all the breath of God. It's all one thing. And yet each thing appears like its own thing. Says the Baal HaTanya, Af she be'emes eino davar b'fnei atzmo. Nothing is truly an independent being. At best, we could pretend we're like that ray of light away from the sun, even though we're not, we're actually within the sun. But this is the strength, this is the gvura of Hashem. This is the depth of Hashem's concealment. That what? That Hashem could give us this idea, this perception. And it's all perception. In the world of Tanya, it's all perception. There's no tzimtzum. There's no actual constricting of Hashem's light. Everything is filled with Hashem's light. There's a perception. There's a perception that Hashem is not here. But our job is, again, is just to train our eyes to see more deeply. That's what this whole Sefer is about. To realize that I'm swimming in Hashem. I'm existing as the Dvar Hashem right now. Hashem is willing me into existence at this very moment. Putting these words into my mouth. So the grandeur of Hashem, the gedula and the gevura of Hashem combined, is Hashem's ability to both reveal, to give me perception that I exist, and also to conceal Himself and to conceal me from my own truth, which is what makes life so geshmak. Litzamtzem hachayus varuchnius hanishpa miruach piv, to hide from me that life force. The fact that Hashem is pumping life into me through His speech at this very moment, ula hastiro, to conceal that from me. And you know why Hashem has to do that? It's a gvura, which is the ultimate gedula. What do I mean by that? It's a concealment, which is the ultimate kindness. You know why? Because what would happen if I realized who I really am? What would happen? Chevra, what would happen? Rebbe Aaron, what would happen if, God forbid, for a second, I say God forbid, but even that's kind of like what we're trying to work on here, right? But what would happen if I really knew who I was? I would cease to exist. I would be one with the creation. I would be one with the Creator. I would be a drop of water that went back into the ocean and looks like it has no more independent existence, right? My soul would just be one with Hashem, which it really is right now. But Hashem, in His kindness, conceals that knowledge from me, giving me the perception that I exist. And I enjoy existing. I like being Moshe Tzvi. I like my wife, and I like my children, Bli Ayinara, and I like the things in my house. And I like my friends who I learned Tanya with on Tuesday night. And I'm scared in a certain sense to just let that all collapse back into the ocean or all go back into the bowl of the sun. So Hashem, in His infinite kindness, allows us to play this very unusual game. Where on the one hand, I'm fully aware when I think about it, and that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to remind myself there is no independent me. Ein od milvado, there's nothing other than Hashem. And yet at the same time, Hashem wants me to feel that, you know what, I have a hand, I have an arm, I have svarim, I have a desk, I have a laptop, I have all these things around me. And Hashem wants me to what? To experience them as teva. Remember the pasuk we started with? There's Shemesh and there's Magen. There's Hashem and there's Elokim. And are they not one and the same? Hashem Hu Elokim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's all one big thing. And the paradox of it is that they seem to be exact opposites. Because Hashem, as revealing, means there's no me. Hashem is concealing means that there is a me. But what's the truth of the matter? The answer is they're both true. There really is no me, but there's a perception of me. And Hashem wants both of those things to exist. And we can't grasp the very nature of this concealment, this perception of concealment. You hear what the contradiction is? On the one hand, every second Hashem is saying, yesh, 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 I'm taking nothing and making something, something, something. And at that same moment that Hashem is making something, He's making sure we don't allow that something to really understand what it is. Hashem is hiding, hiding, hiding at the same time. Because if He's revealing too much, then the whole thing is going to not have expression. It's not going to be able to exist. It's like that ray of light going back into the sun. So what good is that? I can't call it a ray of light anymore. Hashem wants to call it Ami and Daniel and Alex and Shmuley and Ryan. Hashem wants to call it by those names. Hashem wants it to sort of take on its own form. But also never to forget that be'emes, when we take off, so to speak, the glasses, when we look behind the curtain, there is no us. There's this unbelievable bittel. There's an ein od milvado. There's the sense of what? The sense that even when I'm a yesh, I'm really an ayin. It's all rolled together in a very beautiful and complex way. And he ends the parak by telling us that another way to refer to this revelation and this concealment that take place at the very same moment. And again, you're supposed to, how do I live with these ideas? I'm supposed to think about these ideas. I'm supposed to meditate on these ideas. I'm supposed to feel my own existence. And at the same time, I'm supposed to live with an unbelievable sense of surrender to Hashem. Another way to express what we're saying tonight, concludes the Baal HaTanya, is Bechinas HaTzimtzum VeHester HaChiyos Nikra B'Shem Kalim VeHachayis Atzmo Nikra B'Shem Or. Picture a light that is entering into a vessel. A vessel means something. Picture a light bulb. Picture that glowing filament, right, inside the light bulb. There's the light on the inside, and then there's sort of the garment, the bulb, that is worn around that glowing filament, or whatever it is, in order to allow the light to not be too intense, right? In order to allow the light to shine forth in a proper way. So the tzimtzum is that kli, is that receiving vessel, that contains, so to speak, the light of Hashem, giving us a perception of, hey, I exist. And at the same time, the chayus, that energy, that life force, is that constant flow of or. Shekamo shakli mechasa al masha besocho. Just like the kli, just like the vessel, just like the package contains and hides and covers over that which is within it. Kach bechinas hatzimtzum mechasa umastir ha'or. So too the Tzimtzum allows us to be recipients of Hashem's unbelievable, constant, life-giving flow of energy. To receive it, and to perceive it, and to live with it. And to not be what? To not be negated by it. Again, that's our question. If I'm really living within the ball of the sun right now, so then how do I identify as a ray of light? Right? Which is it? Am I in the sun or not? Yes, the Baal HaTanya says, you're absolutely in the sun. Einod Mavada, there's nothing other than Hashem. That's what the Baal Shem Tov taught us. So if that's true, so then how do I think that I exist? And the answer is this unbelievable paradox called Tzimtzum. That Hashem gives us what? A false perception that we exist, which Hashem wants us to enjoy. That's part of Hashem's kindness towards us. Part of the Gedula, part of the ultimate Chesed, is that it's one with the Gvura. That by allowing this hidden perception to manifest itself, we think we exist. And that's a tremendous tova. That's a tremendous kindness of Hashem. But now, the way that we pay Hashem back, so to speak, the maturity that we have as deep Jews, is that I remind myself all the time, but I don't really exist. When I start to lose myself in my own existence, I say, well, hold on a second. I'm not even a ray of light emanating from the sun. I'm one with the sun. And when I realize that, I live my life with humility, with subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a sense of holy bittul, not a fear of surrender, but holy bittul, of holy return to Hashem. And that's the paradox of Yesh and Ayin, right? Which appears, by the way, in so many other places in the Torah. It comes up so many other places in the Torah. He ends the parak by saying some very, very deep ideas. I'll just read the words very quickly. Not really going to try to explain it because I don't really know how to explain it. But he says the Kalim, as we've been learning, the Kalim are the letters, right? The letters of creation that fill all of reality. Everything's made up of letters, as we learned in the earlier prakim, which is rooted in the five letters of Manzapach, or Manatzpach, the five Sofit letters, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Sadi Sofit, Pei Sofit, Chaf Sofit, which is somehow connected to the five Gvuros, which again the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about, these five elements of Gvura, of Midas HaDin, which are divided into these five expressions of speech. We talk from five different parts. The 22 letters come from five different parts of the mouth, from the tongue, and from the lips, and from the palate, and from the throat, divided into five sections. And those five Gvuros, right, speech which comes from a place of concealment, which again is a paradox, speech is revealing, and yet at the same time speech is limiting, because when the idea is in my head as an idea, it's a certain way. When I try to explain it, I don't do justice to it. Right? So that is what he calls, based on the Zohar, the concept of the Butzina de Cardinusa. The Butzina means the light of Cardonisa, of darkness, a light that comes from darkness. A Gvura that comes from a place of Atik Yomen, which is Keser. Again, these are very deep ideas, and I don't really know what any of them mean. If you do, please tell me. V'shoras ha-chasadim hu-gam kein chesed Atik Yomen. He says that the Chesed and the Gvura, that again, that are really one and the same, this revealing and concealing, which coexist, comes from the highest of places, and it trickles down to us through the letters of creation. That's what he's saying in the simple sense. Okay? But Chevra, this is an unbelievable gift that Hashem has given us. A perception of existing, a tzimtzum which is not even real, because again, if Hashem was really contracting himself, then we wouldn't be able to have the full God experience. And Hashem says, no. You have the full God experience. You have a perception that you also have your own experience. But I want you to use that perception in the right way to make sure that on the one hand, you feel a sense of existence, hakaras hatov to Hashem, that I exist, with the maturity and the full awareness that it's all not really true. That ein od movado. And again, don't be afraid to take your ray of light and put it back into the sun. Because lamaisa, it is within the sun. So just change your perspective. If you think I'm my own thing, remind yourself you're not. Take your drop of water, throw it back into the ocean. When you do that, it doesn't make you smaller. It's not negating yourself. It's becoming one with the ocean. It makes you that much bigger. Okay? These are very, very deep ideas, which we'll continue to, Mirtz Hashem, elaborate on. Okay? We're only four prakim in. And Baruch Hashem, we have quite a few prakim to go. Mirtz Hashem, we got 12 prakim. Plus the amazing introduction that we learned. I told you, there's 13, right? The intro plus the 12 prakim is Gematria Echad. It's all about the Echad. It's all about the oneness of creation. Okay? So, Chava, let's stop here for tonight. If anyone has any...